Well, welcome to a Panthers pre-game podcast. We're going to look ahead to another huge weekend of action. And I fancy it might be the last time we'll get together before the Continental Cup. But hey, look, we've got some things planned for the Continental Cup while the tournament's on. So maybe the gang can get together at times. But this will probably be the last time we get to, really focus in on it. And everybody's back together. I can't even remember the last post-game or pre-game that we were all on here. Ken had the Christmases of all Christmases and seemed to be out every time we tried to record a podcast. So basically, welcome, guys, and welcome back to a pre-game podcast, Ken.
Well, you talking about post game ones? Yeah, pretty stalwart on there, but it's normally just me and someone else.
Oh,
You
what?
make fleeting appearances on the way past. Oh, I'm off to the green room. I'm off to the green room. I can't stay. Just me and Greener.
I actually waved at you on Sunday and thought I'd make it, and then you were done. So that post-match period is pretty intense when everything goes on. Well, we've got a lot to smile about at the moment, haven't we? I mean, obviously, we went into this busy festive period, and I kind of count, all the way from the Guildford game just before Christmas, all the way to this Clan game just gone, and the run of fixtures. Yes, there was those two reverses in the home games, but the only other point drop was that game in Sheffield. Where shall I start? Well, Ken, since you chirped in, it wasn't a perfect festive period, but it never was going to be. But I think, we need to reflect on that. And results went for us elsewhere as well. All the clubs dropped points in the end, including Belfast. But I think you've got to look back on that. And I think you've got to be pretty, where do you give it? A B plus?
I think that if you to do anything like that's probably disingenuous. I think it's a great result, really. To you, really, honestly, you take that going into that stretch all day long and every day. And I think if you, what I've tried to think about is forget about who we were playing, forget about any of that. It's the points percentage that we've picked up through that period, and we're maintaining that. Kind of, for me, every game you've got this. Obviously, you've got 2 points for a win, which obviously everybody wants and we want desperately. But you don't want to lose a game in regulation. And Panthers have been fortunate. I think is it three
Three,
we've lost in. Yeah, so. That means, even in those games, you might take a tough loss, but if you're losing in a shootout, you're losing in overtime, you're still picking up 50% of the available points. And I think that, well, no, not available points, because obviously there's actually 3 points available in every game, isn't there? If you think about it in a bit of a weird way. But yeah, you sort of you're picking up a point and you're keeping that points percentage up. I think that's a massive factor, and probably is an indication of, in those last couple of games where we were clearly tired, why the team and Danny and the coaching staff and the players putting on a very defensive, very well-managed, disciplined performance, whilst they're clearly going to be fatigued through those game period, and making sure that we kept the scoreline low in terms of goals conceded, gave us a chance to pick up. Obviously, we picked up maximum points, but could have been in a scenario where that helped us pick up at least something from those games. So I don't know really whether I've articulated that well at all, but hopefully you understand why, what I'm on about, really.
I've just woken up. No, you actually did.
You can edit that bit out anyway. Just be like, thank you, Ken. There you go.
No, genuinely, I think you made a very, dare I say it, you made a very good point there. Chris Gadsby, I want you to answer this on the spot. What is 11 points out of 14 as a percentage? You have 5 seconds.
85.
I think it's a bit less.
Well, you did try and make me do it on the spot.
It's
You took it.
78. It's 78.57.
Call him Casio in a minute if you get that right.
Wasn't that far off.
No, you weren't. I mean, I had to Google it, so yeah. So I'll come to you since I'm chirping you. That was our Christmas output. If we take those seven games, 78.57% is a very, very good win percentage. And if you look at what we're on at the moment, sorry, our points percentage, it's 80. But even if you go for those 11 out of 14, that's a healthy return, and it will be a return that consistently sees you at the top end of the standings, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think Christmas is probably easily the hardest part of the year because you've got, two games inevitably midweek over New Year. I mean, the way it's fallen this year, we had what, six games in 10 days, and if you get yourself on a bit of a losing streak, you can easily fall away. But Panthers have been able to fight through it and have come out of the festive period better than they went into it, and have got themselves in a really strong position.
Jono, what's your thoughts on the festive period as a whole? Because obviously we had those two down games against Guildford and Coventry at home, but we've somehow ended it in a stronger position because Sheffield dropped probably more points than we all thought. Obviously, Cardiff had been the form toy team in the league, and then they dropped, especially a couple to Guildford. Belfast. Then you felt with a form team in the league, and yes, they've won. I mean, I think Dundee gave them a scare tonight, but it looked, they always had their noses in front. But of course, they lost the other night to Coventry. The title contenders, no one's being perfect right now, are they?
No. And I think that's indicative of the strength of the league. Anyway, I think it's a point Danny made on A View from the Bridge when he was on there this week that it's such a strong league that, and it's a cliche, but any team can win on any given night, and you've got to be at your best every single night if you're going to win a league title. And I think on the whole, we've got to be very, very happy with our festive performance and the points that we've brought back. Yes, couple of blips, those blips against Guildford. I don't think anyone will be happy with what happened against Coventry on New Year's Eve, but fair play. They went into Coventry, a very difficult barn to go into with a cracking hot hostile atmosphere on New Year's Day, and picked up the overtime win. So they got the 2 points there, and then a very, very tired team over the weekend still managed to get 4 points out of four. So I think when you look at it overall, you can only be very, very happy with what we produced over the Christmas period. And the fact that other teams haven't been as good as us or haven't got as many points as us, it is a huge bonus, but we can only really concentrate on what we're doing.
Yeah, and it's interesting because quite a few people said to me, after, this week, they've been like, oh, if only we'd beaten Coventry, that's annoying me. And I get that because we were 4-1 up. And I think most people in the building, when we won 4-1 up, probably thought it was game over for Coventry. I mean,
I think if Gleeson hadn't have scored 30 seconds after we scored our fourth, we probably go on to win that game. But ifs and buts and all that.
Yes, but and I agree with you. I think you're right. I was forgetting how soon that goal came. But I think if we're all honest, maybe saying we only played well for 27 seconds is a bit of an exaggeration, but we didn't play well that night, and that 4-1 lead was a false lead. Well, it wasn't a false lead because we were ahead, but we had 27, scoring in clusters again. But I think the point I'm trying to make is, yes, it's frustrating because the lead could be more, but as you said, every one of the top teams is going to get beaten, and as I say, that was our night that we were going to get beaten. So I'm not too frustrated because you're not going to win 54 straight. And as I said, we didn't play well that night, and it was kind of no shock Coventry came back. You could sense it in the third period. We were struggling to string passes together, and Coventry. I mean, that result kind of kickstarted Coventry's recent run of good form, and now they're on a stretch. And you look at Guildford, who could barely win a game at one point, and now they're on a stretch as well. Greener, I want to talk to you about, every game being important, and how the team that won the title in 2013 approach things? Because I made a point to Danny Stewart in an interview today, and I said to him, you're going to play this game down now, and you're going to say sort of every game's big. And this is talking about the Belfast game. I said to him, is it a defining game? And he said, it is, but I'm also going to play it down. And what we then went on to discuss, and I think this is important to talk about, is yes, the Belfast game is huge and it's almost a 4-point swing, but it doesn't mean that the Fife game is any less huge, because we could go to Belfast and win and lose at home to Fife. And obviously, it's you'd rather get the points against Belfast because you're in their title race. But the point I'm trying to make is, if the mentality of the team is it doesn't matter whether it's Belfast away or Fife at home, they're just so important. If we are, because let's be honest, we're in a title race, we're very much in one. Do you see what I'm saying? Was the men, and it looks like that, you know, the mentality of that team that won the league title didn't care whether it was Fife on a Tuesday night or a showpiece game at home to Sheffield. The mentality was always the same.
Yeah, exactly. I think obviously, like you said, the Belfast one feels a bit bigger because obviously we're in a title race with them, and it's, as you said, like almost a 4-point swing. But yeah, I think that that's the big thing. It's just every game means just as much. Every game means 2 points. It doesn't mean more against Belfast. You know, we'll be under the microscope more in the bigger games because they seem more important because of the closeness in the league. But exactly that, you know. If we go and win in Belfast, there's no point coming home and losing to Fife because again, you've not really gained any ground. I think that the lucky thing for us is that, like we did that year, we've kind of got our noses ahead, so the pressure's off in terms of we could lose a game, and teams still can't catch us just with one win. You know, we would have to lose back-to-back games, and the team probably win back-to-back games for them to even catch us up. So it gives us a nice little cushion for any kind of mistakes. You obviously don't want to rely on that, but yeah, I think, you know, Danny's never going to go and say how big it is compared to the game on Sunday because, you know, you have to respect everybody the same. But I think he just wants to take, I think he's almost not even thinking about Fife yet. You just go and try and win that first game, and once that's done, then you move on to the next one.
Yeah, that's a great answer, Dan. And it's just interesting to see the way a dressing room thinks. And I don't know. There's something about this team at the moment that really impressed me. And we'll kind of move on to that, Ken. You know, I think we'll admit, and we touched on it on the post game podcast. It neither performance was vintage, was it? Let's go back. I thought we were decent in the first period against Guildford, and then Guildford came back into it. We found a way to get the points against Glasgow. You know, we came on strong the longer the game went on. I know me and Greener talked after the game with Corey, and you know, spoke to Corey and said, look, Glasgow probably just, you know, deserve something from the game. But Ken, it's a good sign when a team isn't playing its best, but it finds a way to win.
Yeah, I think, yeah, good summary, really. I think there's a lot in the way that we manage the game and manage the, but we weren't, it wasn't there, we weren't there to, it wasn't the prettiest game out. It wasn't, you're not going to put them down as classics, but we got 4 points. We did the job. The objective is to win the game, take the maximum points, and that's what we did. And I think the adaptability to be able to grind out a performance that gets you the points in those scenarios is defining in terms of the what the team's capable of. Because be easy to be irresponsible, get frustrated, think, well, we should be scoring loads, we're playing at home, and you know, all of a sudden you've conceded three or four. You know, that would not have been that would not have been a good hill to climb. So I think, yeah, were they the prettiest games of hockey I've ever watched? No, I mean Matt Alfero's shorthanded goal against Glasgow was a thing of absolute beauty. So that was, you know, something worth just that was worth the game ticket for anybody who went on its own. I think that breakaway goal was just incredible. But yeah, I just think that when you are trying to win an elite league title, which is defined over many games. It's not one performance, it's many, many performances. It's about consistency. And going into the weekend, you think, okay, Belfast away, it's challenging, it's a difficult game. Yeah, you don't want to come back and Fife is important, you want to get the 2 points at home, but you want to be taking, and I'm not saying this in a defeatist manner. Yes, it'd be great to beat Belfast and beat Fife and take 4 points, but as a minimum, you want to go to overtime in Belfast. That's the minimum objective. It's got to be that you're bringing a point back from there, whatever happens, on the road. That's and I think, I think those are the key things. But there's something different about this team. I'm convinced of it. Their adaptability and their ability to bounce back as well, and not, touch wood so far, string to get, because it's yes, it's about winning streaks, but it's also about not having losing streaks.
And that's a fair point. And look, they had a shocker at home to Coventry. Danny Stewart wasn't afraid to say they weren't great, and they responded. And it was interesting. And by the way, Chris, me and you have been too close together because I'm struggling to speak. My voice is going now, so I'm going to put that one down to you. Yours is slightly back now, isn't it?
Mine is getting better all the time. Yes,
So
I would just like to jump off what Ken has said there about trying to get 4 points this weekend, because of the nature of the teams that Panthers are playing, and then who's playing next weekend while Panthers are in the Continental Cup. If Panthers do get 4 points this weekend, it guarantees they'll still be at the top of the league at the back of the Continental Cup, and have games in hand.
That is a very, it'd been in my mind to think about working that out. That's really interesting. I'm going to come to you, Greener. I mean, I don't, we as people on a podcast can say, because I agree right now, I'll take a point from Belfast. Don't get me wrong, 2 points is a statement of intent if we walked out of the, about to call it the Odyssey, but it's the SSE. But I will take a point, especially if we come back the next night and beat Fife. Never a given. But I don't, that's not going to be in Danny Stewart's team talk. Not a chance. He is going to rally his troops, and Danny Stewart, it's pretty clear, can rally his troops. As I say, Greener, we can all sit here and we can say, if we come out this weekend with 3 out of 4, and a point in Belfast and 2 against 5, we're okay with that. But that's not going to be in the team's mindset, is it?
No, because I think it runs a bit deeper than that. Danny and the coaching staff will have, the series scores against every other team throughout the year. And, he will want to have a winning record against Belfast throughout the year. And it also sets a precedent where we haven't, I feel like we haven't played Belfast hardly at all this year. So I'm sure there's
Once,
going
I
to
think.
be,
Once,
yeah. So there's obviously going to be a spell at one point where we probably play them two or three times quite quickly, and could we play them in the Challenge Cup for all those things? And it's about putting a marker down against those teams, and it demoralizes them. I know it's only 2 points, but if we go into Belfast and beat them in regulation, they're already quite far behind us anyway. They'll look at us and be like, oh God, they're a tough team to beat. And it's right now, I'm sure all of you guys would take 3 points, no problem. But Danny will think of it a different way. It's about beating, but it's nothing to do with, the points as much. It's just we want to beat them. We want to get in their heads that we're better. We want to steal 2 points out of their rink. So there's ways of wording it to the players where it makes it about more than just those points. Where, and it sounds like that's what he's doing. He'll take it game at a time. And then obviously come home and probably complete the sweep against Fife if we get the two on Saturday. But I think that's probably how he will kind of word it and play it.
I know social media is a terrible snapshot of fans' views, so I'm not going to dwell on this too much. But I cannot believe this week I have seen Sheffield and Cardiff fans throw in the towel, Jono. I mean, I know that everyone, as I always
Not
say.
shocked. I'm not, the Sheffield fans don't shock me, because once that, whenever they go on a little bit of a bad run, it's always the same with
But
the Sheffield fans. So that's not, but Cardiff does,
yeah,
but.
I mean, The title race is so close. I mean, you know, those teams behind us at the moment are just a three-game skid for the Panthers, and they're back. You know, they're back. It's crazy. Now, look, we're not watching these teams every week in, week out. Maybe the Sheffield fans, and let's be honest, Sheffield are not playing brilliantly. We've seen that. You know, we did to them what they've done to us many Christmases. So you can perhaps understand their frustration. You know, their games against us, they were leading with 3 minutes to go. We get a point from them. Yeah, they win it in overtime. They were beating us, what, 2-0 on Christmas, on 27th, 2-2. Then they get another goal. Some of us, I think, probably feared the worst. This team's made of sturdier stuff. You know, make no bones about it. This is well and truly a massively, massively close four-horse race. I think we accept anyone below the top four now are not in it. It's a four-horse race, Jono, isn't it?
It is, and I think you also have to look at the fact that we've only played half a season.
Yeah.
So there's another half a season to go. There's an awful, awful lot of hockey, an awful lot of games to be played, games against each other. We've got to, all the top four have got to play against each other. Nothing is set in stone. Yeah, we're in a fantastic position. I'm really happy, and I think I keep hearing a lot of people saying that we are probably favourites at the moment, and you can't really disagree with that with the way we've played.
No, no,
But
no, no. Let other people say that. No, we can't talk. You know, let other people say that,
there are we've still got 27 league games to play,
Yeah.
and an awful lot can happen in that time.
I
You don't, I
yeah.
mean, you there could be injuries,
Yeah.
you know, so much can happen. There's so much to go. Let's not start counting chickens yet. But that doesn't mean we are in a great position, because we are.
Greener, do dressing rooms get like tied up in title talk? You know, when you get to this stage of the season and in your title race, do you think guys can revel on that and talk about it? Or do you think guys try and put it to the back of their minds? Maybe it depends on what type of character and hockey player you are.
Yeah, I think most of them, know what's going on. They're kind of, especially as the season gets to this point, they are checking the scores of other teams. And, it doesn't mean if another team lose that we're going to win the league. Obviously, it's not, quite that close yet. But no, they'll definitely be aware of it. And it will be, as you've said, it's obviously a four-way race now. So teams will be looking at those, sorry, players will be looking at those other four teams, who they're playing. What kind of runs they're on, they'll know. Again, things like we said, if we can, however many games we have left against Cardiff, Sheffield, and Belfast, if we can win the series against them from this point in, that will put us in a great position. And yeah, as much as when you interview them, they probably say they don't, they do. They'll be hoping that other teams, the other three teams, drop points and, that they'll be looking for their scores and kind of seeing how far ahead we are. And, the closer it gets, the more you start to chalk games off. So I think it's just natural in any sport, the kind of teams in it, you're always watching who's around you. And, if we lose a game, it'll be like, right, but what were the scores for the other teams? And, as I say, the closer it gets into sort of February, March, there'll be even more of that. But I'm sure Danny and, the sort of veteran guys will kind of keep it fairly calm, but I think it's hard not to get caught up in it.
Yeah. Chris, I'm coming to you in a minute for Continental Cup chat. Just want to come back to you, Ken. We often talk about goalies on this show. We often talk about point scorers. I think we need to give a lot of love, and I know Jono will nod at this when I say this, to Nolan Volkan at the moment, because he's a guy who didn't immediately get in the lineup regularly. He's probably played on nearly every line in the past few weeks, it feels like. And he's just grinding it out every night. Did a brilliant assist for the goal for Chase Pearson, and I think he's it's just typified what. Yeah, he's not going to grab the limelight probably with a coast to coast goal. I mean, maybe he can, but he hasn't done that yet. But I think he's gone very much under the radar, and I think the fan base is realizing actually what a valuable role player he is for this club.
Yeah, here's that. This is my brain work. When you started that, I thought goalies and point scorers. I thought you were gonna talk. We were gonna talk about the David Noel taking out Sammy Itakalio at the weekend.
Oh,
But
God, I mean, that's,
see,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. Talk
Well,
about
that time,
yeah. But no, Nolan Vulcan. Yeah, I mean, he's just a workhorse. The
yeah.
kid just is a team guy through and through, isn't he? He's like he brings amount of energy. It was. I think we talked about before the Sheffield game at home day after Boxing Day. He made a route, some couple of big hits. He was, just energy through and through. Like you say, the work for Chase's goal on Sunday, that great pass, really well worked goal. You not everybody can is going to be or can be the top point scorer, but you got to remember that we've got two of our if the two of the most creative players arguably that we've ever had
Yeah.
on the sidelines out with injury at the moment. Okay, so it's imperative that the team pulls together, and he has done an amazing job of keeping the train rolling is what I would say, and buying into the team. He's a team guy, and I think the fans I think the fans recognize that, respond to that, and see that. And if they don't, they should, because he's just such an asset to the team.
Yeah, Chris, how much are you looking forward to the Continental Cup? And I'll come to you, Jono, maybe for a couple of ones to watch. We haven't got too long left, so we'll rattle through this as quick as we can. But massive, massive chance next week for Panthers to become the first team ever to UK team ever to win two Continental Cups. How's your prep going? How much are you looking forward to it?
Yeah, prep is going okay. Going on to a Kazakhstani website and translating it from Russian has been interesting earlier on today. Some of the surnames that also happen to be Russian words that have changed into very random English words are interesting. But yeah, I think it should be a great week. So hopefully we get decent crowds in. It's difficult, of course, not knowing when Panthers are going to play on the Saturday. It makes it a little bit tricky, but hopefully it'll be at that 7 o'clock game, and it'll be the first of several trophies this season.
Jono, you've done a bit of work for the website and for socials that we'll be using. I mean, one thing that struck me, obviously we knew full well that Jonathan was coming back, and Sarkanis and Steven Anderson. I know from one of them, that the lad Poulsen, who plays for Denmark, a real, real stalwart of the Danish team. When I saw that name and I saw, you and Sophie chatting, and then the graphic that Sophie was putting together, I was like, seen that name somewhere before. And obviously I saw it, I'm like, where do I know him from? And then of course I read the little sort of bio that you'd written some notes on. I'm like, oh God, yeah, I've watched him play for Denmark numerous times. I mean, Panthers on paper probably are the favourites, but it's not going to be a walkover. I mean, there's some top players on some of these teams, and as again, Soph's done some stats. I think all teams at the moment are in the top three of their respective divisions.
Yeah, so nothing is going to be a gimme, and you only have to look at HK Mogo as well, who were playing first, because they've come up a very similar route to when we won it in 2017. They played in the first round, won that. They got through in second place in the semi-final in Angers, and now they're in the final, and you certainly cannot rule them out, especially with a player like David Sarkanis, who is scoring for fun for them at the moment and has scored 10 points in their Continental Cup run.
Did you play with Sarkanis Greener?
I did, yes.
What do you remember about him?
I mean, he came in quite late. I think he came in like probably this sort of time, maybe even later. And then I think he was kind of in and out of the lineup a little bit. I mean, if I'm honest, at that point, he certainly wasn't like a big impact player for us. But he was very young when he came. I think he was maybe only about 21 or 22 when he came over here. So obviously, he's probably grown and developed a lot and whatever. But yeah, he was just kind of a young, he was like a body we added quite late, just because we had some injuries and stuff, I think. But Nice guy, decent little player, and I'm sure now he's obviously, grown into a lot more mature player.
Yeah, tw 22 he was when he came over. 13 Elite League games, 2 plus 4 for 6 points. He's had an interesting career there, of course. I totally forgot about that season he had in MK with the MK Lightning. Absolutely
Was that in
ripped
the
up.
Elite League?
That was in the NIHL.
Yeah.
He scored a shed load of points for them as well, I think.
He did, but he's had this career where he's played in, in the Latvian League, had a bit of time in the KHL. He's played in some decent leagues, and then, no disrespect, he ends up in the NIHL for a season. But
Well, you look
yeah.
at he scored 36 points in 23 league games for them this season.
Yeah.
He's their top scorer by a long, long way, but 17 goals and 19 assists. He's definitely going to be one we're going to have to keep an eye on when we play them next
Yeah.
week.
Can't wait. I can't wait. Tickets available individually for the games on Wednesday at 7. It's a week on Wednesday and then on Friday and then the final day. Let's hope we all goes to plan and we're playing at 7 o'clock on Saturday night. Basically, the group winners will go through to the final. The teams in second will play for the bronze, and then the teams in third will basically play a positioning match for fifth and sixth. But before all that, Belfast on Saturday and then Fife Flyers on Sunday. Don't forget, family tickets are available, reduced admission compared to standard prices. 5 o'clock, slightly later, as we travel back from Belfast the night before. But for now, on the pre-game podcast, thanks for joining us.